All right, Galatians. I want to look for a moment where we left off this morning. Galatians 5. Would you look at that scripture for just a few moments? Now, the subject tonight is the believer's fruit, or the believer's works. This morning, the believer's hope. And tonight we're going to talk about the believer's fruit, or works. And let's look, beginning with verse 19 of Galatians 5, for just a moment. Now the works of the flesh, are manifested, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, reveling, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I've told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. That's the works of the flesh now. Now, verse 22, but the fruit. And notice this word is not fruits. This is the fruit of the Spirit. It's not fruits. It's the fruit of the Spirit. In other words, if you have joy, you also have love. No way to have joy and not have love. If you have patience, you have peace. If you have goodness, you have faith. So this is the fruit. And not only is it singular, the fruit, but it's the fruit of the Spirit. It's not my fruit. It's not my works. It's the fruit of the Spirit. That's what he said. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. This is the fruit of the Spirit. Our Lord said this. It's not our fruit, it's his. Listen to, let me just read you from John 15. Our Lord said, abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself. It's impossible for any human being to produce this fruit. Love, joy, peace, patience, gentleness, goodness, faith. Faith is the gift of God. Repentance is the gift of God. Grace is the gift of God. So, abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. But it's the fruit of the Spirit. That's right. The vine brings forth the fruit, but it's the fruit of the fruit of the Spirit. That's right. And thirdly, you notice this. And the fruit of the Spirit is in every believer, to some degree. Some degree. You can't have love and not have Christ. You can't have peace and not have his faith. You have to have all of it to some degree. That's what we're saying. And it grows. This fruit of the Spirit, it grows. It's not all. You don't have it at maturity. When God gives you love, you grow in love. You grow in peace. You grow in grace. You grow in patience, long-suffering. It grows. Turn to Matthew 13. Let's hear the Lord say something about this. In Matthew 13, verse 23. Matthew 13, 23. Listen to this. He's talking about the parable of the sower now. Matthew 13, 23. But he that receives seed into the good ground This is every believer now. He receives this seed in good ground. God made the ground good, and God sowed the seed. And he that received the seed into good ground is he that hears the word. Got to hear the word. And understands it. He hears the gospel and understands the gospel. And he brings forth. He will bring forth. He has to. He has to, because it's God's garden. God's a husbandman. God planted the seed. And I guarantee you, God's going to make that seed grow. He'll bring forth. And now watch this. Some 100-fold, but some 60, and some 30. You see, they're elders in Christ. They're young men in Christ. They're babes in Christ. They don't all have the same amount of fruit or depth of fruit or the maturity of fruit. You have to grow. He that receives the seed on the good ground, he receives it, understands it, believes it, he produces fruit. It's the fruit of the Spirit. It's the fruit of God. Let me show you another scripture. Turn to 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. And Second Thessalonians chapter 1. This fruit of the Spirit, it grows. It grows. As the years pass, as the trials come and go, as the suffering and experiences and knowledge of the Word, and you grow in grace and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Desire the sincere milk of the Word that you may grow thereby. Grow what? Taller? No. In fruit. Now watch this. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 3. We're bound to thank God always for you, brethren. Talking about believers. As it is meet, because your faith groweth exceedingly. Your faith grows exceedingly. You know what the Lord said to the disciples said to the Lord one day, Lord, increase our faith. Increase our faith. That's when the Lord asked him about forgiving. He said, how many times am I supposed to forgive him? Seven times? He said, 70 times 7. And the more you forgive, the more you grow. Read on. Your faith groweth exceedingly, and the charity, the love and alms and goodness of every one of you towards one another, what does it do? Dries up? Oh, no, it aboundeth. It abounded. It abounded. So now chapter 6. So therefore, I'm going to talk about this fruit, these believers' works, that which is the result of faith and the experience of faith. So here's the first one. Here's our attitude toward other people, especially those who are weak. Especially our attitude toward those that are weak. Brethren, if a man, we're talking about believers now, if a man be overtaken in a fault, you which are spiritual, you which are mature, and you've grown up a little bit, and you're able to understand some things better. You which are spiritual, if the man be overtaken in a fault, you which are spiritual, restore him. Restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. Now we're redeemed, we're children of God. This is a group of believers here. Some of us are older and some of us are younger. But all of us are sinners. And all of us, even though we're believers, we're still in the flesh. And we still reside in a body of flesh. And the motions of sin are still in us. I don't care how old you are, how mature you are, how you've grown in grace, those motions of sin, pride, envy, jealousy, temptation, these things are there. They're there. And the potential to fall is in every believer. Let him that thinketh he standeth take heed, because he's on his way down. That's just so. The potential is there. Therefore, if a brother, one who is a brother, a brother or sister, fall into sin, the sin of spirit, the sin of attitude, the sin of flesh, whatever the sin is, you who believe, you are the brother. What is to be my attitude toward this man or this woman that falls? What is to be my attitude? Censor him? Cut him off? Cast him out? Oh no. What does he say? He says, restore him. Restore him. Restore him. Recover him. Forgive him. And quickly resettle the fellowship. Resettle the problem. Embrace him. Love him. Understand. That's right. And two things we want to remember while we're doing this restoring. Consider yourself, lest you also be tempted. Keep that always in mind, always in your heart. When you see a brother fail or fall, just reach out and grab him. Hold him to you. Love him. Tell him you understand. If it wasn't for the grace of God, the position would be reversed. Exactly right. Be reversed. Now, what's that next verse? So, bear, verse 2, bear ye one another's burdens. What does that mean? Bear and forbear. What are these burdens? It's our weaknesses. We all have them. Our infirmities. We all have them. Our frailty. We all have them. So, let's bear and forbear with one another. If you look at Galatians 5, verse 14, here's the key. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this: love your neighbor as yourself. That's to be our attitude toward all believers, no matter what takes place or what happens. Just forgive. Forgive as God, for Christ's sake, forgave us. And that goes on every day, doesn't it? Why would I be otherwise? All right, here's the second thing. Now, verse 3 through 5, our attitude toward ourselves. He says in verse 3, if a man think himself to be something when he's nothing, he deceives himself. This is our attitude toward ourselves. Why would a believer think himself to be something when he's nothing? The Bible tells us that over and over again, that without Christ, we're nothing. Look at 1 Corinthians a minute. The Apostle Paul deals with this in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Listen to this. Why would a believer think himself to be something? He says here in 1 Corinthians 3, verse 5. Who is Paul? Who is Apollos? But ministers by whom you believe, even as the Lord gave to every man. I planted. Apollos watered. God gave the increase. So neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God giveth the increase. I'm not anything. Just an instrument God uses to bless his people, to help his people. That's right. The scripture says over here in 1 Corinthians 4, listen to this, see if I can. Yeah, who maketh you to differ? Who makes you to differ? 1 Corinthians 4, 7. What do you have that you didn't receive? What do you have that we didn't receive? I believe you mentioned that in your prayer. Everything I have, everything I know, everything I am, everything I hope to be, is by his grace. Yeah, who maketh you to differ? Now, if you did receive it, why would you glory as if you didn't receive it? Why would anybody who's a believer compare himself with somebody else? Thank you, God, I'm not like other men. That's not even in your vocabulary, is it? I thank you, God, that I do this, that, and the other. I'm not like this publican. You don't even think about that. Not a believer. No, he doesn't. You don't compare yourself with others. You know, in other words, let me read this to you. I'll turn quickly to it. But this is in 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Paul said this. Listen. Now, in 2 Corinthians, we dare not. 2 Corinthians 10, 12. We dare not make ourselves of that number or compare ourselves with some that commend themselves, brag on themselves. But they measure themselves by themselves and compare themselves with themselves, and that's not wise. Don't do it. Just don't do that. And then verse 4, look at Galatians 5. In verse 3, he said, if a man think himself to be something when he's nothing, oh, he deceived himself. So you don't think that. I know you don't. But here he says, let every man, now watch this. This is interesting. I'm going to help you with this if you'll listen real close, carefully. Let every man prove his own work, and then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone, not in another, not comparing himself with somebody else. Now listen, I'll tell you what Paul's saying here. He says, let a man examine himself and his ministry, and his stewardship, and his conduct, and his work in the life that God gives him. In the life that God gives him. And if he can see some growth, if he can see some maturity, some spiritual maturity, and he can see some growth in grace, then he's able to rejoice in himself, well, in a sense, but he rejoices in what God's done for him. That's what he's rejoicing in. He's rejoicing that he's able to love, that he's able to give, that he's able to be kind, that he's able to be at peace, that he's able to forgive people. If we're able to do this, man can rejoice, but not comparing himself with somebody else. That's what he's saying there. Not in comparing himself with what somebody else does or what somebody else believes or what another person has. So if a man has a work, a gift, a stewardship, and God's enabled him to grow in grace and grow in faith and grow in understanding and grow in love and grow in patience and give other people, forgive them, let him rejoice that God's been so good to him. Let him rejoice. If we're going to grow in grace, we'll grow. And we know it. But we rejoice in God's doing it for us. You understand what he's saying? You rejoice in that. And you can rejoice not comparing yourself to somebody else. Not, you don't say, well, I'm growing faster than he is. You wouldn't dare do that. If you grow, you grow. And you're glad you are. And you rejoice that you have that goodness of God. If you have anything, it's he. Now watch verse 5. Now let every man bear his own burden. What's this saying there? Said this back there. Bear ye one another's burden. Forbear and bear one another's infirmities and frailties and weaknesses. Just understand. Now, you bear your own burden. What's that saying there? You bear your own work. You perform your own task. You perform your own service as unto the Lord. And if I can find a little trace of grace, God gave it to me. If I can find a little bit of love, God gave it to me. If I can find the spirit of forgiveness, God gave it to me. Everyone bear his own burden, his own stewardship. All right, here's the third thing now we look at in verse 6. Our attitude towards stewardship. Stewardship. I know back in the old Methodist churches, they used to have Stewardship Sunday. And that's just one thing, just take up money. all the stewards run around to get people to take up money. But there's a stewardship of time. There's a stewardship of in labor, in witnessing, in preaching. There's a stewardship in every belief. We're stewards of God. Let me read that in First Peter chapter 4. There's a stewardship. Every man and woman in the kingdom of God has a stewardship, a responsibility before God. 1 Peter chapter 4. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 8. All right, have it, 1 Peter 4, 8. Now, above all things, have fervent love among yourselves. For love covers the multitude of infirmities and weaknesses and failures and sins. And use hospitality one to another without grudging. God loves a cheerful giver. Use hospitality and kindness without grudging. And as every man hath received the gift, as every man hath received the gift. Now, let's go back a minute. Hold that right there. Hold that verse right there. It says, as every man hath received the gift. Go back to Romans 12 just a minute and see if we don't find some help out here on this. In Romans 12, as every man hath received the gift, a gift of stewardship, a gift of whatever. I'll show you some of this. In Romans chapter 12, verse 6. You got it? Romans 12, verse 6. Having then, verse 5, so we being many are one body in Christ, but every one members one of another. Having then gifts, according to the grace that's given to us, whether prophecy, let us preach, prophesy, according to the portion of faith, or ministry, what is your ministry? Anything that has to do with the things of God, the kingdom of God. Everybody's got a ministry. Or ministry, let's wait on our ministry. Or teaching, got a gift, he's a teacher. Or he that exhorteth, he that encourages others and witnesses, and then he's got a gift of exhortation. He that giveth, person is blessed with the ability to give. Let him do it with liberality or simplicity. He that ruleth, you rule a house. You got children. Your teachers rule a classroom. You that rule, do it how? Do it with diligence. Everybody's got a stewardship. He that showeth mercy, that's everybody. Show a little mercy. Spread a little sunshine. Spread a little sunshine, a little light. So everybody's got a gift. And down here, that love, everybody's got the gift of love without dissimulation. Now go back to 1 Peter 4. Let's see if this doesn't help me and you. So 1 Peter 4, verse 10. As every man hath received the gift, everybody's got a gift. Everybody's got a stewardship. Everybody's got a ministry. Everybody's got something to do in the kingdom of God for the good of glory of God and the good of each other. Even so, minister the same gift, the same one to another, the same gift one to another, as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. I got a stewardship. I'm going to give it what I have. And that's what he's saying over here in Galatians now. Let's look at that stewardship a minute. In Galatians chapter 6, verse 6. Now, verse 6. Let him that's taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. Pastors, teachers, missionaries. You just had a missionary came here, showed the slides, went back to Mexico. They're starting to get some land and build a building and start a new school down there. And that costs money. And you were so generous and kind to, I think, just tremendous the way you've taken care of the pastors and teachers and missionaries. So they that teach you the Word of God, you communicate with them in all good things. That's what he's talking about there. Contribute to them. All right, look at verse 7. Now, you know, I don't think Paul is talking here in verse 7 to believers. I think he's talking to people who are deceived and who mock God. In other words, listen to this. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. Here's a warning to unbelievers and those who are not generous and those who are not good stewards and those who do not give an account of their ministry. Don't be deceived. God is not to be deluded. God is not to be deceived. God is not to be trifled with. Whatever a man sows, that's what he's going to reap. Whatever a man is what he will be. Whatever a man sows, that's what he's going to reap. Now, that's not talking about believers now. That's talking about people in the sea, deceived, deluded, and mock God. And they're going to reap what they sow. And here's what it is. Look at verse 9:8. For he that sows to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. Here's a man that all he cares about is material things, physical things, fleshly things. All these things, his whole life has been wrapped up in himself, in what he has and what he can get and what he can do, physical, material, fleshly, devotes his time, his strength, his substance to pamper his flesh, to provide for himself, please his flesh. One day he's going to reap. Reap what? Reap what that flesh sowed. He's going to reap what that flesh and the world produces. What is it? Corruption. Corruption. Decay. And death. But, now here is, we're talking about somebody else now. But he that sows to the Spirit. Here's a man and woman, a young person that has a ministry. We read about in chapter 12, verse 6. That ministry we talked about a while ago. That grace and goodness and things of that. Let me just look at, refresh my mind right here at 12. We've got a ministry, teaching, exhorting, giving, ruling, showing mercy, being loved. If he sows, the person who devotes his time, his strength, his thoughts, his substance to seeking first the kingdom of God and the well-being and welfare of God's people, he's going to reap life everlasting. That's what that said. He's going to reap life everlasting. So, here's our attitude towards God's providence in verse 9. So, let's not be weary in well-doing. Let's not be weary in kindness and teaching and witnessing and praying and giving and sharing and helping others. Let's don't get tired now. Let's don't be weary. Oh, we'll have disappointments. Sure you are. You're going to have failures. Sure you will. You're going to have criticism. You're going to have misunderstanding. But this is not my work, it's his work. This is God's work. This is his gift, not my gift. These are his sheep, they're not my sheep. So I guarantee you this, don't be weary in well-doing, for in due season we'll reap. Cast your bread on the waters. I heard somebody say one time, that's sowing rice. Those rice fields in Louisiana are just full of water. You sow your rice, you can't even see it. The poor church didn't put it there, but it grows in the water. And you cast it to the water, cast your seed, and forget about it. And it'll come forth in his time. You reap in whose time? In his time. You see, we reap in his time, not ours. The results are not calculated now. They're calculated when he comes. When he comes. His purposes will ripen fast, unfolding every hour. The bud may have a bitter taste, but sweet will be the flower. Ye fearful saints, fresh courage take. The clouds you so much dread are big with God's mercies and will break with blessings on your head. So look at verse 10. So, as you have an opportunity, and we have them, don't we? We have them every day. As you have opportunity, as the occasion is presented, as the occasion is presented, as the person is before you, as the Lord gives you the ability and the means, let's do good. Let's do good to everybody. That's right. The person you don't even know down the street, show a little kindness. Show a little affection. Show a little tenderness. The girl that works for you, the boy that cuts your yard. Yeah, let's do good to all men. All men. That's what he said. Especially of the household of faith, especially you. But not you, but everybody. Show a little kindness. Most of the time you get pretty much what you put out. You go in and find some person working there and their own edge. Well, show them a little brightness. A little, don't get on edge with them. You got to look for conflict then. But show a little kindness. Show a little kindness. All right, here's my fifth point. What are we going to have? What's our attitude towards false preachers? Look at here at verse 12. As many as desire to make a fair show in the flesh, they constrain you to be circumcised, only lest they should suffer persecution for the cross of Christ. We're talking about false preachers now. For neither they themselves are circumcised, neither they themselves who are circumcised keep the law. They don't keep the law. But they desire to have you circumcised that they may glory in your flesh. Glory. This world is full of false preachers. False prophets, preachers, they do what they do to be seen of men. That's just so. Their religion is an outward show. That's what Paul's saying here. In observance of days and duties and laws and rituals, they congratulate one another on their spirituality. They congratulate one another on their times of devotion. They brag on their converts, but they don't keep the law. But they constrain you to be circumcised that they may glory in your flesh. What did our Lord say about those people? He said, leave them alone. Can you do that? Leave them alone. Just leave them alone. They're blind leaders of the blind. If the blind lead the blind, they're going to fall in the ditch. So leave them alone. I have a message to preach. It's not a negative message. It's not preaching what the false preachers are preaching. I'm preaching what the Lord Jesus Christ sent me to preach. Leave them alone. You hear what so-and-so said on TV? I don't care what he said. You know what they're doing down the street here? I don't care what they're doing. I care what you're doing. I care what Christ is preaching. I care what I'm preaching. I've got a positive message. Don't tell me what they're saying. Tell me what he said. Don't preach their errors. Preach the truth. Don't tell me what salvation is not. I know what it's not. Tell me what it is. Who it is. I'm telling you now. Leave them alone. Christ said, leave them alone. Yeah, but they're casting out devils in your name. Leave them alone. Stay away from them. Preach the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Tell him how he loves sinners. I died on the cross to save them. Spend all your time talking about Christ, talking about the gospel, and leave them alone. Can you do it? We learned that one time back here in the study when the men all used to come and meet with me back years ago. And I remember that people, different ones came in, they'd say, did you see this on TV or that on the TV? Or, did you hear what they said? Did you hear what they're preaching? One day I said, knock it off. I don't want to hear another thing that those fellas say or do or what they claim to be. Just don't want to hear it talked about anymore. I want to walk in here and hear what Christ Jesus the Lord did for sinners in his precious blood and his righteousness, and preach it with a positive. I got a positive message.